This is Elocution with your host, Elo Black.
This episode is a throwback to a podcast we used to do called The World of Science with Dr. Hans Berger. I did this show with a very dear friend of mine who is a licensed member of the medical community. However, Dr. Hans Berger is fictitious. Viewer discretion and sensibility are advised. Well, I mean, listener discretion, unless you watch this on YouTube. Anyways, please enjoy, be well, and above all, wash your hands. Thanks, pals. Hello, and welcome to the World of Science. I am your host, Genevieve Holcomb-Marcellus, and with us as always for the COVID catch-up on May 3rd, 2020, is the brilliant Dr. Hans Berger. Dr. Berger, thank you for joining us once again for the COVID catch-up.
Hello, guten Tag.
Dr. Berger, we have had such a busy week. Let's dive in. First of all, let's go over the COVID statistics for this week. Again, this is Sunday, May the 3rd. So far, we have had 1,092,815 diagnosed cases of COVID. That's 197,049 more cases since April 26th.
Correct.
Also, we have had 64,283 total COVID deaths. That is 13,884 total deaths this week. Now, Dr. Berger, those numbers are staggering. But I did notice something in last week's total deaths. It was over 14,000 in 1 week. This week, it's close to 14,000, but it's 13,884. Is the curve and the treatment working, Dr. Berger? Why are we seeing a reduction in the amount of deaths?
Good question. Good question. So what we have going on, we have over 14,000 last week and less than 14,000 this week. In the past weeks, what happens in the world of healthcare, I don't know if it happens in the world of pregnant women or in education, but whenever you have an experience and you experience this experience on a daily experience, experience gives you education. Example, we have someone that comes in with a sniffle. Sniffle turns out to be, you know, bronchitis. So in the beginning of the healthcare world, there was Mr. Healthcare Doctor that said, what is this illness? Oh, well, let's see if we can treat it like this. And here comes another person that says, oh, he's got the same illness. And here comes five other people that have the same illness. So with the corona that we got going on, once an individual in this situation, a healthcare provider, sees the same issue over and over and over, they are going to start putting two and two together to make the four, because 2 + 2 = 4. They're going to put it all together and say, oh, this works, and this works, and this works. So with more future people coming in, there is a treatment that can work or that can treat. I have to be clear. The treatment is to treat. A treatment does not, I think, has been proven to cure in this situation. Perhaps the variable of the less death is that our healthcare workers are learning how to treat it and learning how to combat it.
So what you're saying, Dr. Berger, is now that there is a routine, not to take away from the seriousness of the situation, but there is a routine treatment, there is a care plan, if you will, that is helping to reduce the COVID deaths.
Yeah, that's right. What we've had to up to this point, we've had many, many treatments for what's called ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome. There is a process to treat that. There is a process to treat chronic disease. There is a treatment to treat gonorrhea. It is all treatment that has been proven effective because the cases have multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, and the doctors and healthcare professionals have seen what has worked, has put it into effect, and if it works, it worked.
Now, Dr. Berger, let's switch over to what happened a few days ago in the news in the state of Michigan. Now, Dr. Berger, I am not a medical professional like you are. I do not have your education or life experience, but I need you to explain this to me. Yeah. How does carrying an assault weapon into a government office or a government building, what is going on, Dr. Berger? Why did those people go in full assault and tactical gear
here, they protested. Mm-hmm. What is going on in Michigan, Dr. Berger?
There's a lot of angry people that seem to get the airtime that they've been looking for because they feel that they've been stooped. Now, I will say this. I did not see any healthcare professionals protesting the right because they're probably too busy trying to save all these people so that they could have the right. So what I will say is that they look good because they're wearing appropriate clothing for the cold weather since it's almost summertime. And they feel that the virus is taking away their gun because when the guns get the virus, there's not a ventilator that's attached to the exit hole that could breathe the gunpowder. That way all the barrels can get all their air. And, you know, they have their little phones with the TikToks and the, you know, and it's so beautiful to see history repeat itself when people get angry. Perhaps it's not that they're protesting that they can't get their hair done and they can't eat. Perhaps they're protesting that they don't have any people that are feeding them or people that are doing their hair for them or people that are doing their nails for them, because all of this can be stuck at home, but they prefer someone like Little Miss, perhaps Ling Ling, Little Miss Consuela, or perhaps, you know, they want the service. That's what they want because they can't do it themselves. So they're going to fight for our rights because they want us to work for them. That is our rights they're working for, yeah? Don't you think?
So, Dr. Berger, what you're saying is this is more about their rights of human servitude other than their rights to be free and their liberties are being sacrificed. It's actually they want human servitude.
It's a valid argument if one thinks about it, because how many nail files do people not know how to use at home? And do you really need the acrylic nails? But there's the argument that's my freedom to have acrylic nails. So if I want the local nail salon worker to give me my acrylic nails, even though I have 20 babies, as some of them complain about other people getting acrylic nails with 20 babies, you know, that's the right. That's their privilege, yeah.
And speaking of clerks in business, Dr. Berger, and again, we have to take a few seconds to sincerely thank all of the clerks and business people and the essential workers, not just in the healthcare industry, that have really kept everyone going. We had no appreciation before how hard these clerks work, and we're so appreciative. And every day has been Black Friday since a month and a half now. What is going on, Dr. Berger? Why were citizens screaming and complaining at clerks for wearing masks and asking the customers to take certain precautions?
It's a beautiful thing, this so-called capitalism, because the focus is derived away from the real problem makers and it's given to the people that really create no kind of problem. So, for example, this little girl was threatened with her life because she was enforcing a rule that was created by a big company. So, this is how it works. Big CEO tells management at little store in Port Dunk, USA, to say, for example, in this situation, must wear masks, shoes, and panties to enter the store. Management tells the little girl, okay, we go to tell people to wear a mask, wear shoes, and wear panties. And little girl says, okay, well, I will tell people to, at minimum, mask, shoes, and panties. So when this little girl is working and she has to enforce these rules by the big CEO, the shoppers aren't very smart people because they're only in there to buy, to engorge in all this consumerism, that they really think that these little people, the little girl, the little children that are with these $10 an hour jobs, not 15, but they're still essential, that they make these rules overstepping the big company. It's actually quite humorous and quite sad. So we have grandma yelling at little girl because little girl is smashing her right to come into the store with no mask. So what happens? Little girl unable to do her job, unable to enforce the rules. Management has to enforce the rules, perhaps write her up and say, no, we have to enforce the rules. That is the job. And she probably cannot have the job because she cannot enforce the rules. And CEO wins.
Wow. Those poor kids. What's going on in Texas, Dr. Berger?
So what is going on? And our friend, and I guess you can say, und ruler, Governor Abbott, what is going on is he has enacted this beautiful package called Phase 1, certain rules for the reopening. So with these retailers and the malls that were part of the Phase 1, they are to operate at 25% capacity. That includes the dining area, the play areas, interactive displays have to stay closed. They take their shop it up to where 25% of that shop remains open for dining. I don't know if you know people in Texas, but people in Texas are perhaps some of the fluffiest in the world, and they may take up a little bit more than places than necessary, which could be deemed quite selfish and taking away other liberties of people sitting in the dining area. And any Anyway, so employees, this is my favorite part. Employees must be trained in proper hygiene and disinfecting. They need to regularly clean surfaces for customers to touch or need to be screened for symptoms of the coronavirus daily. If someone is infected with the COVID-19, they cannot come back to work until 3 days after they recover. So you remember how we were infected and we have to do a 14-day quarantine because the initial inoculation was 14 days, yeah? Yeah. So now they are saying 3 days from recovery. Well, how long is the recovery? Is recovery a week, 2 hours, 2 seconds, 2 years? And unfortunately, if one gets infected, did not they expose everyone else to get infected? So aren't all of the employees going to have to go home once they recovered? Anywho, carry on. If an employee is around someone who tests positive, they must stay home for 2 weeks. That is one of the rules. Employees and customers should wash and sanitize their hands regularly and practice social distancing. Masks are recommended.
And speaking of mask protocol, Dr. Berger, what happened with Mike Pence visiting the Mayo Clinic, the largest hospital in the area, with no mask on? Also, I had heard that the reporter who shared the photo of him not wearing a mask was threatened. Do you have anything to add to this bizarre story?
Yeah. Because you see, taking a photo of someone is not a free liberty. That is something that is bad, bad, bad. Was written in Mein Kampf and it will continue to Mein Constitution. So what we have here, Mr. Pence, is not he the leader or like the head of the COVID crew or something like that?
That's correct. Mike Pence and also the former group leader of the Labradoodle Committee is the head of the immunity community.
As a leader in the, I'm going to say committee, he's got to lead and show us that the committee is absolutely useless by not even wearing a mask. So this is where the money went. This committee to find something about this virus. Pence is doing his American duty of proving that another committee is useless and taking away money from research. Why he didn't wear a mask? I have reason to suspect that he didn't think there were any homosexuals in the group, so he didn't feel he had to protect himself. However, there was also no women in the group, so he felt that with a natural mask mother wasn't around, he didn't need an artificial mask. That is what I think. But I will stick to my answer that he did not wear the mask to prove that this COVID committee was just useless, money-wasting American greatism.
And Dr. Berger, a quick question. Would Mike Pence have worn a leather mask, as I've heard it rumored he owns several?
It would offer more protection. There is a gag that will cover the entry of the mouth in case you inhale through the mouth rather than through the nose. Plus, you could put a cute little lock on it. That way he can stop talking. Perhaps it's probably the best for him. He should wear leather next time. I agree.
And Dr. Berger, let's go worldwide. Now, I had heard discussion that there was a report from Sweden saying that herd immunity was going strong in Sweden. And then I heard a different report saying that the original report was not factual, that in fact, Sweden had taken certain precautions to prevent the spread of COVID. What's going on in Sweden, Dr. Berger?
Well, they have their beautiful, beautiful shoes and they eat a lot of fish. Sweden is very, very nice, beautiful blonde hair, and is close to the land of dike. Everybody loves the dike. But with Sweden, what's going on is that there was a story online, particularly in Sweden, that there was this opportunity for what was called herd immunity, H-E-R-D. So what was going to happen was everybody was going to continue with life. Everyone was going to get infected. Everyone was going to build antibodies. And everyone was going to Wally Water World at the end of the corona to celebrate immunity. That was the plan. The herd immunity, it was very cute, like Hello Kitty. But it's not going to work.
So, Dr. Berger, let me ask you a question to add to this discussion. Has it been proven in any medical research that white privilege gives immunity to any virus whatsoever?
Now that's a touchy subject. But let's talk on it. This topic that has arisen called the white privilege, the privilege of, rather than say white, I will say the white American, because there are many shades of the white, there's the eggshell and the off-white, but we'll just say American white privilege. So it kind of goes along with what we were talking earlier about. They're not really fighting for their rights. I feel that they want to fight for my rights, my right to serve them, to cut their hair, to serve them soup, to bring them clothes to the dressing room 10 times sizes too small. So, with this white privilege, there is an unmentioned feeling going on in society that there have been some individuals that have the ability to advance further in a job, advance further by not getting shot, and some have proven to advance further by not getting hung on a tree in the 1960s. So there is something going on, but a lot of people don't want to label it as white privilege. Perhaps we should just label it something else, perhaps easy living, perhaps mommy and daddy built the way for you. I don't know. And there has to be something to say about privilege. Growing up in Germany in the World War II, I'm not so sure if the world has read the history on privilege. And I don't know if people can remember when there was a time that people were kicked out of their homes and their paintings were taken, all their clothes and jewelry were taken, and they were left in the house. But, you know, that is privilege, where you could just do whatever you want and not suffer the consequences. And perhaps that's what we have in American society. We have so many people feel that they can be free, they can do whatever they want, and not suffer the consequences. Oh, well, you know, it don't work like that, honey.
I understand. And Dr. Berger, let's talk about bailouts. Now, again, today is May 3rd, 2020. There have been over 20 million people that have applied for unemployment benefits since the last week of February. What's going on with these bailouts, Dr. Berger, and how will they help America?
Yes. Well, you know, I feel richer. In the past 4 years, I cannot believe how much the first tax break has made me so much richer. I actually have $1.50 extra in my education pay. I am so rich from that tax cut that was supposed to introduce trickle down, where all the rich people will say, "Oh, you poor people, eat some cake and have your dollar." So yes, I will have that big tax break of the 2018, I want to say. So we had that first big tax cut, and everyone that wasn't poor was rich. So then we bump forward to 2020, where there are what we call the first bailout, where the house parties, they went back and forth. They talk about, no, the money goes here, no, the money goes there. Ultimately, it was the second time for rich people to get rich. But there was also a little caveat where small businesses can get a loan. There we go into that whole economics thing, where they give these little loans to the businesses that were meant to get small loans. The loans were given to big companies. Some big companies give it back. They help the small guys. Some big companies say, no, F you, I want to be rich, and I fire 95% of my staff, and I'm rich, more rich. So I cannot confess how rich I am. Don't you feel rich, especially with all this money that's coming into the working class?
Dr. Berger, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the tax cut to serve the wealthiest, which is the 1% of the Americans with the highest revenue?
Of course, that is the idea, that you give this money to the rich, and then the rich are going to trickle it down. What it is, think of it like the electric wires that hang above your head with all the birds right above you. So all that trickle down is just white caca in the form of money that's just falling on the lesser people until it gets to you on the ground. That is what was expected, the trickle down economics. And it's good to see that the trickle down has guaranteed 22 million unemployed. America. I love it.
Dr. Berger, I really want to touch on this very scary, very sad subject, very serious subject of medical professionals that have been dealing with COVID patients, have also experienced COVID infection themselves. Medical professionals, including one amazing doctor at New York Presbyterian Cornell in New York City, have taken their own lives. This is very serious, Dr. Berger. What can we do to help our medical professionals?
Well, this is very, very serious. It touches a very thin line. And we had a group of people from 2016 with their shirts that just were great and proud and loud, that F your feeling. And it was very hard to want to express any kind of contain any kind of stress, because you had that in front of you. You had people that were saying, get over it. You had people that were saying, get your big girl panties on. Don't be Russian. And go out there and show them what you're made of. Stop babbling. There is no babbling in the medical profession.
Mm-hmm.
But this is sad. There have been many studies in the past with my colleagues of the nursing profession regarding violence in the workplace, amid healthcare professionals, including people in the public fighting healthcare professionals. There have been many videos of people throwing lamps, books, bringing in hammers and attacking all these healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm.
The stress of the environment accumulates, especially when you are in a state of over 1 million residents. Perhaps triple that. 1 million New York individuals and the ER is always busy. The bodies are piling up in the morgue. Who listens to these people? Their families. But they can't get close to their families. Why? Because there is fear of the spread of the virus. So where do they go? Do they go to each other? When do they have time? In the break room that they can't sit 6 feet next to each other. They can't eat with their hands after washing 15 seconds because it's in the air. It gets on their food. So what do you do with all this stress? How do you cope? You can't go to a therapist's office. They're closed. Some people have very sad situations on how to handle stress. They need the help, particularly when the help cannot be closer than 6 feet away. You need to let them know that the help is there. And if they want to reach out, they are a phone call away. They are a text away. They are a Zoom, house party, FaceTime, mail, snail. They are there. They can help you. And it's very sad. So many individuals have either committed suicide or that they have died from stress and being exposed to the COVID. Very, very sad.
So we have to remind ourselves to reach out and to also listen if someone is reaching out to us through this horrible, scary time. Dr. Berger, what is going on with the meat companies and what Trump said about not issuing any new mandates or rules or regulation? What's going to happen?
Oh, I remember hearing about this. Once I had thought about it a little bit before I had my hamburger with some nice pickles and onions, but it was a veggie burger. I should not say hamburger. It was a veggie burger with a nice black bean sauce. Anyhow, so with this meat issue, I will call it issue. So this harkens back to ill preparation. And I will say it, ill preparation, because there's always an opportunity to prepare for an event.
Mm-hmm.
So now what's the scare? The first scare was the poo-poo paper. Everybody took the poo-poo paper off the shelves. So the new scare is, what are we going to poo-poo when we have no meat? There will be no meat to poo-poo, so we cannot stop making the meat. And I have to say, number 45 has always been very proud of his meat. So, of course, he doesn't want to stop the meat flowing in the meat factory. So what is going to happen? Oh, no, food shortage. Oh, no, meat shortage. We cannot do the meat shortage. We can kill all the farmers with the vegetables because we bought their farm, but we cannot stop the meat industry. Everybody will fail, and that will not be good. So he doesn't want to stop production. Although people have tested positive for the coronavirus, all these people breathing on your meat, all these people touching your meat, it is not going to stop because of the fear of a meat shortage, the ill preparation of a pandemic, which was not a pandemic, but he knew it was a pandemic, or he said he always thought it was a pandemic, but that is what it is. The meat shortage is a lot of fear and unknown because we were ill prepared for what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So basically, Dr. Berger, what you're saying is there is a fear that meat is going to be the new toilet paper of the COVID scare.
Mm-hmm. Nothing can beat the meat, but you can always beat your meat. So with it, not so much as scare. I have probably used the word wrong, but it is now the new craze. Oh, now the meat markets are going to close. Oh, no, the whole world, the whole United States closed their hairdressers and their shoe shops. Now they're going after my meat. Oh, no, what is going to be the next thing that closed? Gun shop? No, that was open from the very first day. No coronavirus noted in any of those stores. Huh? Mm-mm.
And Dr. Berger, let's jump back into politics. There has been a huge scandal announced regarding Joe Biden and a sexual assault allegation. What's going on there, Dr. Berger?
Here we go. Oh, it pains me. Such a tender subject, such a real subject, can be so politicized. Now, Before I go on, I want to explain, anytime this topic in particular comes up regarding any kind of abuse, there needs to be some serious investigation, and it needs to be found out. Last time we heard about this, we heard about it in 1982, Anita Hill, and it was short-lived, and so it was forgotten by many, I should say. Then there came another time, the Kavanaugh who magically has no more bills to pay, and is sitting in one of the highest ranks in the Supreme Court, and what happened? Oh, she's lying. Oh, she's a wait, oh, it didn't happen. Well, so what if he had 5 beers and it happened? It's the beer's fault. Yeah, I'll call Budweiser. And we have it again. Now in voting season, for the daughter of a very, very well-known author. And the words that she uses are very poignant and very published as well, because they match what her father wrote in the book. But what should be noted is that this investigation needs to be taken seriously. They need to be serious about this investigation, and they have to call the lady, and they have to talk to the Biden about what's going on. So they called the lady, and she canceled. That is a strike for me. However, the investigation needs to continue, and I believe that. I believe that is something that needs to follow through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe that too, Dr. Berger, but we also must stress that it is very important to listen to outcries, to listen to anyone who's accusing someone of something so serious and so violent and violating. We have to listen to the outcry.
There was a cry earlier on a very tender subject as well. About the child predators. You know, it's amazing that I haven't found any man in dresses coming out of the Target bathrooms and arrested that are touching these little boys and girls. Yet I find all these older men dressed in men's clothing that are arrested. You know, I do appreciate the people of All Lives Matter, because, you know, the All Lives Matter really care about these pedophiles. But, you know, what about these All Lives Matters that turn away from all the lies, saying, no, you don't matter. I matter. So, yes, the crying out is starting to be heard.
Absolutely. And also, what happened to Blue Lives Matter when those men went in with arsenals against the sheriff's office? I thought Blue Lives mattered. I guess they don't.
You know, it's all the colors of the rainbow. We're all colors in that rainbow. We're white, the black, the pink, the blue, the yellow, whatever. Be happy. But yes, it's very sad that all these people are with the gun yelling at these people. And these officers, they're doing their job of standing there in harm's way. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting to see all this battle cry, they call it, because the British are coming. The British are coming.
What was your thoughts of Hillary Clinton back in the news to back Joe Biden this week?
Well, there is something to say about when you're in it forever. We had a cute little thing come out from El Paso, Texas, try maybe about 50 times to get into the world of politics, and he's still there. So that is what we have here. We have a woman who was in the 90s, who fought for women's rights, international women's solidarity, children's rights, and apparently she killed half of the world or something, but it was never proven, and she was the Secretary of State for the Obama, and she had 30,000 emails. Of course, she's going to be stuck in the political world because she had all this action, I guess I should say. She's like the Action Jackson of the 2000s now, but she's white. So she had all this going on in the political world. So with her back in the ring, it's not surprising. But what she does bring with her, she brings all the stories that are going to be following the Biden run.
So Dr. Berger, let's really dig deep on this one. Is the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, dead or alive?
That is one of the most complicated presentations of a person ever. What I will say is that it was so good to see a news facility or an informative station not deemed fake news tell us that there are rumors that he is dead. The T, the M, the Z got no kickback for that story. Why? Because it was thought to be true. Had CNN said something, the Fox News, the MSNBC with the murder of Rachel, none of them reported that. They reported of his heart surgery. But TMZ, not fake news, reported or rumored that he's dead. But of course, this man has access to the best healthcare, access to the best doctor. services. He has a hospital in North Korea that is only built for him, probably, and everyone else dies in the river. But it was not very surprising that someone found that he truly had a real heart, because I thought he didn't have a heart. But he is back, or it is his little cousin in drag, King Drag, that is pretending to be Kim Jong-un, because you always put the cute in execute your people. So with this going on, I think it was a little scare. I think it was just another tactic. It was a tactic brought upon people in our own country, because Kim Jong-un doesn't even talk to the flowers outside of his window. He would not have told anybody that he was dead. And if that story got out, his surgeons would be dead. His nurses would be dead. And of course, probably the brother from another mother would be dead really, really quickly.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Berger, do you have any comment about the new White House press secretary taking liberties with the truth and the first press conference that she gave this week?
You know, it is so wholesome to see what feels like the fifth person in as many years, or perhaps less number of years, give a press conference. Of course, it has been over a year since there has been no press conference, but just faces. Faces telling stories. Faces, I'm surprised, haven't turned brown from the absolute entry into the brown eye of 45, but she was adorable. She reminds me of the Hitler youth growing up in Germany. They were so adorable with their blonde hair, their clueless look, their beautiful blue eyes. She looked absolutely cute as a button. Eventually, the button was destroyed by American forces. So hence, I feel for her that perhaps an American force will eliminate her completely. But I am glad she had the airtime. She had the opportunity to show herself to be an actress. And she had the opportunity to show that she could probably be on Dancing with the Stars 40 if she worked hard enough. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So, Dr. Berger, again, thank you so much for being with us on the COVID catch-up. And do you have any sort of hand-washing timer song that you would like to share with us this week?
Well, and I did find a great one from the past. If you want to wash your hands along, it's one of my favorites. It's a good song from the 80s, cute little thing, and it goes 1, 2. We don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time. Just wash your hands. I love. Good. That is my song for the day.
Dr. Berger, thank you.
Thank you. Und Prost.
This has been Elocution with your host, Ello Black.